soccer matters.
Kickshot score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. We got coming up the Houston Dash General Manager Alex Singer, Mitchell Tainer, the USL Championship Defender of the Year for San Antonio FC, will join us. Right now, though, I got a quick word here for Advantage BMW in Midtown. Go down there and see my friends at Advantage BMW in Midtown. Go down there and see Justin. Go down there and see Steven. Look, you're going to get the royal treatment when you go down there, speaking of royalty. Seek performance. You'll find luxury there. You're going to get premium service. It's all tailored to you. You get right to the sales team. They're going to help you find a perfect new certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle. You'll discover something special. And you'll get a hometown advantage at San Jacinto and Gray, AdvantageBMWHouston.com, AdvantageBMW in Midtown. And I do want to remind you again, LamontBrands.com. There are partners with our fight against pediatric cancer. We've got Soccer Matters hats now. They're really cool. Check them out. They're trucker hats. We've got our Soccer Matters t-shirts. All the proceeds go to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation that provides scholarships to cancer patients and awareness and fundraising. All right. We talked about a U.S. men's national team manager, and Greg Berhalter is apparently still in the mix, according to Cindy Cohn, who's the president. Ernie Stewart has fled back to the Netherlands. Brian McBride is gone. You know, one thing I wondered, why they didn't defend their coach a little bit more. That was... I thought the Federation might have defended their coach a little bit more. Didn't really seem like that happened. Supposedly, Berhalter's still in the mix. Now, with Jesse Marsh being fired right away, everybody's talking about Jesse Marsh as a potential for the U.S. men's national team job. The question is, do we want to stay with an American manager? 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Still in that coaching tree. Now, there's a lot of American fans that are kind of upset at the way U.S. soccer sometimes look. There's a nepotism-type look to it and players coming off coaching trees, which there's nothing wrong with that. And by the way, I'm a big fan of Jesse Marsh for the chances and the risks he's taken in his career, as well as all the other American managers. But is it time for a foreign manager now to come in completely without any of the history, any of the U.S. soccer, you know, problems that we think that they have when it comes to choices, coaching choices, interviewing candidates? Would it be just better to bring in somebody fresh that might be a foreigner, Andrew?
I think that we're at the point where we don't necessarily need to constantly look outside for ways to grab from other countries and improve things. Like, I'm not saying that our soccer setup is perfect. It's far from that. But we have built ourselves a strong enough foundation now where I don't think we necessarily need the influence of someone who maybe, I don't want to say doesn't get it, but doesn't necessarily understand the what is needed from the national team manager.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about going out haphazardly and grabbing somebody because he's a name. Grabbing somebody and going through an interviewing process with a Mauricio Pochettino, for instance.
Oh, I mean,
with a Bielsa. Why, you know, interview these guys, see if they have a grasp on what's going on. I mean, look, Tata Martino might not have been a success with Mexico. He might be with the U.S. if he got re-energized. I mean, the man looks beaten down. But I'm all for the American manager, mm-hmm. but I'm for the right manager now. And maybe somebody that doesn't have the baggage and the knowledge of everything that's occurred up to this point. I mean, this was despicable to have a former national team player calling U.S. soccer and nobody's standing up and say, hey, look, call us back later. We're in the midst of the group stages. We don't need this around our team. You know, why didn't somebody stand up to this? That I don't know. But I think somebody with a strong personality. I even heard somebody say Jose Mourinho. You know what? His personality, this is a no-nonsense guy. Maybe that's what's needed. Now, on the other hand, as much as people don't like Greg Berhalter, these players played for him. And they played probably the greatest ever game a U.S. national team has ever played, and that was in the 0-0 draw with England. It wasn't even a win, but it was a controlled game against a top, you know, top 10 team in the world, top 5 team in the world, and it was a game that we weren't expected to win, and the U.S. controlled this game, to me, for the most part, for 75 out of the 90 minutes, led by an impressive, impressive midfield. So, you know, I don't want to count anything out. I don't want to lean on the, well, it's got to be an American. No, it doesn't. You got one last quick hit here, Andrew. Sorry.
No, I think that you were 100% right, Glenn, in that regardless of where it comes from, it needs to be the right person. And however they designate that through the interview process, if they deem it to be the right person, then so be it where they come from. But they need to have, what you said, that strong personality, I think, is the biggest part. Because if you're coming from the outside and you don't know the experiences of what some of these American soccer players are having to go through at the international level and at the international stage with their different clubs, then you need to have that person to really galvanize and lead them. And as long as they have that, I think that whoever it will be in a good spot.
Lots of big names out there. It would be really fascinating to see if a foreign manager came in. By the way, the U.S. soccer did reach out to Zinedine Zidane. So there you go. So they may be thinking in the same way. All right, we're going to take a break. Daspit Law Firm presenting Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, committed to working for you. You get in a car, boat, motorcycle, maritime accident, it's nervy. Few things are worse than severe injury to family members. That's when the Daspit Law Firm needs to be called. DaspitLaw.com. By the way, in Austin, it's DaspitLawAustin.com. Here in Houston, you call 713-322-HURT. DaspitLaw.com. Supporting Soccer Matters and the great game of football.
For sports is ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's go big here in the second hour. We'll start it off here with a word for the best place to get empanadas in Houston. You want some real Argentine flair? It's Little Patagonia Empanadas and Cafe, 5393 in the Galleria. Mouth-watering empanadas packed with beef, lamb, chicken, pork, venison. You got a sweet tooth? It's guava, strawberry, Nutella. So many choices. Little Patagonia Empanadas and Cafe, a wonderful Argentine vibe, coffee, espresso. If you love everything Argentina right now, like we do in the world of soccer with them winning the World Cup with Lionel Messi, this is the place to go. You order Little Patagonia empanadas, you pick them up, you take them back to your office, you will be loved, you will be a hero. You can also get Little Patagonia empanadas on DoorDash and Uber Eats. USL Championship last year was won by San Antonio FC. Mitchell Tainer was the USL Defender of the Year. He is one of the leaders of San Antonio FC. If you don't know, the USL Championship is the league right below Major League Soccer. Highly competitive. Mitchell Tainer joins me now. His story is a great one. Mitchell, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
All right. So first thing I'm going to say is I'm not sure all San Antonio FC fans know this, but you come from pretty big lineage when it comes to soccer in Connecticut and the Northeast with the Maroney family. Joe Maroney was the coach of UConn. Your mother played at UConn as a player. Her brothers, Bill and Joe Jr., also players at UConn, also played in the pros. Talk a little bit about the Maroney legacy here before we get into anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from Storrs, Connecticut. It's a small town up in Connecticut, right where the university is. Back when my grandfather got the job, you know, it was obviously still a really small town, but he he provided a really good foundation for youth soccer in the country. And a lot of the growth, I think, is credited to him and kind of what he did with his youth program there and within the University of Connecticut. And I was pretty blessed to be born into that family with all the soccer knowledge they had and kind of soaked it all up. And here I am.
Yeah. By the way, mom gave you a few tips, you told me before this interview.
She did. Yeah. You know, when I played well, it was great. When I didn't play well, she let me know what I needed to work on and, you know, wasn't happy with some performances, but, no, it was a blessing to grow up in that environment and, you know, ultimately helped me get to where I am right now.
Talking to Mitchell Tanner, defender for San Antonio FC. We're going to get into the upcoming season here in a minute, but you then went to Rutgers University, also a very strong program, noted program in New Jersey. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was great. The coach there was Dan Donegan. He was the biggest player of the decade. It was either in the 80s or the 90s. I'm not sure which one. So if he's listening to this, sorry to date you, coach. But he played for my grandfather at the University of Connecticut. So that was the connection there. And, you know, I wanted to stay in the Northeast. I wanted my family to see me play. Rutgers was a great program, great facilities. And it was a really good place for me to grow. You know, when I first went into Rutgers, I think we had the number 5 recruiting class in the country and played with a lot of great players in the New Jersey area, which is a hotbed for U.S. soccer, you know, for the last 30, 40 years. So it was a really great experience. And then, you know, I got drafted and moved around quite a bit and found a home in San Antonio.
USL champions last year of the championship. I mean, a remarkable season, a remarkable way to finish, a remarkable game at your home stadium in front of your home fans. I know you have to move on, but just talk about that from the perspective of your career and the platform that it's taken, the rise that it's had as a 28-year-old man now in defender.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people can get caught up in what's next in their career. And I was guilty of it, too. I got drafted in the third round to Toronto, spent a lot of my time in the second team there, you know, training with the first team quite a bit, but never ultimately signed a first team contract with them. I went to Sacramento and then, you know, kind of the funny how the sport works, but I got called back on loan to Toronto for a game. It was against Houston, actually. Did well, scored. And that was my only appearance in MLS. And I think right now, you know, it's about surrounding yourself with people who have the same vision, staying in the present, focused on the present. And to be able to do that in San Antonio, I really feel like I found a home here. I'm surrounded by a coach who really believes in me, lets me express who I am on the field. And, you know, he's taken my strengths and made them that much better, taken my weaknesses and made them better as well. So it's a huge credit to everyone. It was an unbelievable year last year. You know, we got to kind of wipe the slate clean now. We had a long off season to appreciate what we did, but now it's on to 2023 and hopefully doing it all again.
And that's the aforementioned Alan Morsina, who led San Antonio FC to the title. Okay, you teased us a little bit in that answer with my next question, and that is the difference in how you see the game now as a 28-year-old as opposed to a 22-year-old rookie with Toronto FC.
Yeah, you know, when you're in college and you're a kid, you want to play at the highest level possible. You want to play in MLS. You want to go to Europe. And I think it's easy to get lost in that mindset and not really kind of be bought into where you're at in the moment because you're not satisfied with where you are, which is great. That's why I am where I am. That's why I've had the success that I've had. But at the same time, I do think it can hold you back. And I think it's helped me back a little bit. So going into that sort of mentality, when you find yourself in a situation where, like I said, you have a coach who believes in you and all these other aspects, that's when you see the real growth in yourself as a person on the field and off the field. I feel like I've really grown a lot. I have a coach who helps me off the field, has helped me grow, you know, really mature. And so I just think that mental part of it and staying focused is really a big part of, you know, a player's success.
Mitchell Tanner joining us, San Antonio FC defender. Specifically when looking now as a 28-year-old, at the way you play your position, your overall understanding of it now, how is that different? I would think you're better at your craft now simply because of experience and the path that you've taken.
Yeah. So the way that we play in San Antonio is quite different than, you know, every other club that I've played at. You know, you're in positions where you're pretty vulnerable. You know, you're 1v1 a lot. If you make a mistake, it's pretty glaring. So being in that sort of situation, it's made me a much better defender. Defend first, play on the ball second. And I think with other teams that I've been at, it's mostly been, oh, let's connect our passes. And, you know, once we keep the ball, hopefully you want to defend a lot. But here, Alan has really taught me how to be a defender. And I've learned to love it. I grew up playing striker and center mid, and I even tell Alan all the time, I say, hey, man, you know, I can still play the 10 if you want me up there, go run around. But he's having none of that. But no, playing here has really made me love my position. I take a lot of pride in it. And I think that was a big part of my development as well, because I never really fully bought into being a center back. But coming here, I love it. We were winning a lot last year, so that obviously makes everything more enjoyable. But I think that's really helping my growth as well, is really loving the position and learning.
Winning that title last year, do you feel like it's expanded the reach of potential new fans and unique fans that hadn't been coming to games before? Do you get that sense? Because you're on the ground in San Antonio.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you've ever been to Toyota Field, but it's
a first-class
facility, amazing atmosphere. It's an unbelievable city to be in. You know, you have a big Spanish influence. You have, you know, a lot of different cultures coming together. We have the Spurs and the backing of the Spurs ownership group, which is amazing. So a lot of the fans from the Spurs are now crossing over into SAFC. And, you know, when you win, it's a lot more fun for fans to get behind their local team. And, you know, we saw that last year, and especially during playoffs. I mean, it's an unbelievable atmosphere. It's nothing like I've ever experienced before. So, you know, I hope everyone, you know, can get behind the team again this year from the jump and you know, have that atmosphere throughout the year.
Sustainability. You mentioned that before. It's a little bit more difficult in USL because there is a lot of roster turnover, right? And you got new faces coming in, like in any season. What's it going to take now? I mean, because the turnover's pretty large. You're going to be one of the big leaders. You're the USL Defender of the Year. What's it going to take? And, you know, like you said, how much have you really swept last year behind you?
I mean, I'm obviously incredibly happy still that we've won, but at the same time, we're in preseason now. So, you know, as hard as it is to, you know, really put that in the rear view, because that'll be something with you forever. The goal of myself and of the club was not just to win one championship. So now it's about focusing on this season, kind of rewiring our mindsets and our new motivations. We have, I think it was 9 of the 11 starters from last year returning, which is huge for any success of a club long term. But now the target's on our back. You know, everyone knows what we're about. So it's about staying even keeled, you know, being mentality monsters like we talked about throughout all of last year. And that's kind of how I live my life now. I'd say a lot of other guys do as well. It's about integrating the new guys on the team. We're going to have, you know, a boatload of talent, a lot of energy, guys who want to win. And they're really good people. So I think it's just about staying consistent with what we did last year, keeping that same mentality. Each game is a new season, and attacking every game like it's going to be the last one. And, you know, if we do that, I think the sky's the limit for the team.
Notice some new signings, Nico Hansen, Kamarni Smith. These are all guys that I'm assuming you're going to help integrate into the team and get them to buy into kind of that San Antonio mentality monster. That was the moniker that Alan Marcina coined, right?
Yeah. At the beginning of the year, he talked about Jurgen Klopp and how he used the phrase. And at first, you know, you never know if something's going to stick within a team when a coach says something, but, you know, it stuck with us. It resonated with us. You know, Alan talks a lot about, you know, you can make someone the best, spend time making them the best dribbler in the league, the best passer, but the most powerful thing you can make them is the strongest mental component that they have. It's not easy playing in the U.S. You know, Pep Guardiola said it the other day, 4 hours to London is a lot for him. So it's a lot of mental strength traveling from here to Sacramento, back to RGV, down to San Diego. It takes a lot. So, you know, kind of riding those waves and attacking each obstacle with the best mindset that you can, and overcoming that, it makes you stronger and it brings the team together and, you know, leads to success from the group.
Mitchell Tanner joining us, San Antonio FC defender. I've had a lot of connection to San Antonio, back to the Scorpions when they won the title, and of course the Crocketeers and all our good friends there, James Hope. For that fan base who started so earlier, and those guys and gals that have been around the team that long, I mean, this was something incredibly special.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, after the game, people were crying. It was, I was crying too. You know, right after the final whistle, I went up to see my family in the stands and gave them a big hug, and just the outpouring support that we got from the diehard fans, the people who just came to the final. And I'll be in the grocery store and people were like, man, I was at the final. We just got season tickets. It's amazing. And I think part of our job, you know, as SAFC athletes, is to help build the sport in San Antonio, because it, you know, it's a big city. It's a big soccer city. And, you know, us having success on the field and, you know, how emotionally invested our fans are, it only sparks that even more for the younger generation. And it was just an amazing atmosphere for the fans. They've waited a long time for that. It was 7 years. And it was just amazing for all parties.
You're a fun guy to follow on social media. I mean, I don't think there's any question. And one of the little monikers underneath your name, it says bet on yourself. And I'm assuming that's based on the way your career has kind of taken its arc.
Yeah, I mean, I've been overlooked time and time again in my career. You know, I obviously think, you know, I have the quality to play in MLS and other leagues, and it just hasn't happened. And when I got the opportunity to go on loan to San Antonio in 2021, that was kind of difficult for me. I just got engaged. My fiance was from Sacramento. She stayed in Sacramento with me, and, you know, she fully supports me and said, go do it. So I needed to bet on myself there. I was taking a huge risk, and that's kind of how I've lived my life. You know, you dream big, dare to fail, always bet on yourself. You know, you got to be vulnerable. You have to be willing to lose in order to win. And, you know, that was something that I thought about before every game. And it's made a huge, huge impact on my life.
Great, great message to young youth soccer players as well. You just gave there. And by the way, you got married. So tell us a little bit about that and how that changes your perspective on life.
Yeah, I mean, I met my wife in 2018 in Sacramento. I met her after a game one time in the stands. One of her friends was dating one of my teammates. We met. And then 2019, we were dating. And at the end of 2020, we got engaged in New York. I actually lost the ring in transit to New York City. It was not good. It was lost for 24 hours in New York City and eventually found its way back to me. So it was meant to be. But
wow,
she's an amazing support system for me. You know, I'm not where I am without her support. And, you know, I tell her all the time and tell other people, it's not only is she supporting my dream and being a professional footballer, she's chasing it with me. She's moved with me to San Antonio, uprooted her life, made a bunch of changes. So I owe it to her to be successful and to make the best life I can for me and her and our future family.
What's your wife's name, Mitchell?
Amanda.
Okay, we just wanted to make sure Amanda got the due props here. all right, you're going to be playing each Eastern Conference team for the first time in history. This is an interesting part of the upcoming season. March 11, the opener against the Oakland Roots. There's a couple of things for San Antonio FC fans that they already know. You can get tickets at San Antonio FC. .com. Just a word on what Alan Marcina has meant to you before I let you go.
He saved my, not only my career, but I think my life. You know, I devote a lot to my craft, and to be able to have the success that I've had has been a dream come true. And it wouldn't be possible without Alan. I came to San Antonio in 2020. We had an abbreviated season because of COVID. Then I re-signed in Sacramento, got loaned back here for 6 months. And, you know, I was talking to my wife and talking to my mom saying, man, like, I really want to know how good I can be playing with Alan or under Alan for an entire year. And I believe in him just as much as he believes in me. And like I said before, he allows me to express myself, allows me to be who I am on the field. He has his full confidence in me, full trust in me as I do with him. And I think that's why we've had such a good relationship, is where we're cut from the same cloth. We're different in a lot of ways, but very similar personalities, mindset. And I think that's why I've had all the success I've had. I don't think I would be nearly the player I am today or have any of the accolades or won a trophy or anything without him. So he's been a godsend to me, and he's got my loyalty, my love, and, you know, it's been amazing playing for him.
Is his influence more from the mental standpoint, from the tactical standpoint, a combination? How does that work?
Oh, it's both. I mean, there's no coach more prepared than Alan. I mean, we do a ton of video. He's very explicit in what he expects from you. Everyone knows their role. We're a very well organized team. So tactically he's second to none. And I think mentally as well, he's rewired. If you ask anyone else on the team, he's rewired us mentally, made us the mental monsters that we are, and is shaping who we are and, you know, how we're going to be for quite a long time.
Mitchell, thank you so much for coming on. Best of luck in the opener on March 11th against the Oakland Roots. Congratulations on last year's championship and all the great things happening in your career. This has been a fun interview. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Glenn. Appreciate it.
Uplifting interview there from Mitchell Tanner, and a great lesson of perseverance and continuing to push through. Advantage BMW in Midtown. You seek performance, you find luxury at Advantage BMW in Midtown. At Advantage BMW in Midtown, when you go in there, you're going to experience premier service. It's everything you think about when you hear the name BMW. Advantage BMW in Midtown. The first thing you do, you get to the expert sales team. They'll help you find the perfect new, certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle. The service center is dedicated to putting your time first. And excellence at Advantage BMW in Midtown, it's not just offered, it is expected. So if you want to discover something special, take it from me, Glenn Davis. Discover your hometown Advantage at San Jacinto and Gray or at AdvantageBMWHouston.com. That's Advantage BMW in Midtown. I'm driving the X5. I've driven the sedans in the past, the 5, the 3 Series. Exceptional vehicles. You'll love getting into one. every single day. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll switch it over to the Houston Dash, their general manager, Alex Singer, joining me next.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 in Houston. And as promised last week on the show, I said I was going to bring on Alex Singer, the general manager of the Houston Dash, and very much looking forward to having her on. It's presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Alex, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Really excited.
Well, you've been pulling off a lot of moves here with the Dash, a lot coming into this season here. And I was kind of thinking about when you joined the organization in September. So you're still here, you know, probably only 5 or 6 months. Have you got a better handle on everything and a grip on everything?
Yes. Yeah, so I think I'm starting almost at month six. So yes, definitely have a better handle on everything. Of course, there's so many things operationally and then with league rules and a lot of changes within the NWSL and our club. So I definitely have a good handle, and we're sitting in a good spot heading into my first preseason with the Dash.
I certainly don't envy any general manager in the NWSL or Major League Soccer when it comes to understanding the rules and the application of them. How difficult is that? Because it almost seems like every day there's a new category of a rule being initiated and brought into the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's representative of the game evolving here in this country, and that there are a lot of differences, obviously, the way that we operate than some of the leagues around the world. So it's navigating when situations come up, which I've had to do quite a bit already. And you learn through those processes and really just asking the league. And a lot of times, you know, they are creating either a new rule or have to do some investigation because either something hasn't happened like that yet, or they need to go back historically and see how they've handled it. But there are new rules, I feel like, that are being created frequently now, just to go along with the evolving game, especially on the women's side. I think, you know, on the youth side specifically, the addition of the U18 discovery list and U18 guidelines now, because that was something that came up quite a bit and will continue to come up as players start to, you know, develop and into their potential at young ages.
Houston Dash general manager Alex Singer grew up in the soccer rich area of Long Island, also played at the University of Virginia and played professionally in Australia, Sweden, and Germany. That foreign experience that you had, I mean, that's obviously a good experience that helps you in your current position, I would think.
Sure. I mean, I think from a networking perspective, and this helped me in the agent role, I had built up a very rich network of coaches, players, consultants. And I think, of course, just going through those experiences and being in sort of different places, assimilating, I think that's all helped me in this transition, both just from a soccer perspective and being able to pick up the phone and make a call about a player. And then on the player side with the players we have here and helping them out to adjust when we have international players as well.
The advances of the league when it comes to, you know, the care, the concern of the player, conditions. I know conditions from my era of playing are a lot different than what I see in Major League Soccer now. How important is it for you to continue to improve that area of the game as well to advance professionalism?
It's a huge part of this. I know it's a huge part of the league, but it's specifically with the Dash. It's all about raising the standards and elevating professionalism. So the league's come a long way. Look, I played in NWSL 2014 and 15, and it is very different, but we still have a long way to go. So just thinking about the experience, the housing, the transportation, you know, at the end of the day, when our players come here, I want their sole focus to be on doing their job, which is getting out there and playing their best and being at their peak performance. So everything we can do on the experience side, we're trying to give them.
All right. So last year you joined the club at a phase where they're getting into the playoffs for the first time ever. I think it's the first time in 10 years. It's a huge achievement. It's a huge standard bearer now for the club. And I never really heard the reason Juan Carlos Amoros was not retained, because he did bring, let's be fair, he brought a really good energy to the team. He brought a more progressive playing style. I mean, anybody who knows soccer saw that very evidently. Was that just an issue over contract negotiation that he wasn't retained?
Yeah. We had the intention to retain him, and it came down to negotiations and honestly his choice to be with another club. So there's obviously a lot more there, but that's really when it comes down to it, what happened. And to be fair, Juan is a great coach, but I think if you look at last season comprehensively, the players had played well throughout each phase of the coaching, and the players were obviously very resilient and carried the team through into the playoffs. And I think that's why I'm so excited about this group, because we have retained the core of the players that did that, and they are just very important to this club. So I want to give, you know, a lot of credit to the players, to Sarah Loudon, to the staff that was here. The staff that was here throughout all of those changes and wants to continue this project and sort of, building on what we were able to do despite some of those challenges last year.
Yeah. And the reason I ask that is I've had a lot of people come up to me, and, you know, a lot of fans are simply going to see a coach that got him to the playoffs, as simple as that, and not know the ins and outs. So that's great. So that leads us to the new coach, who everybody's very excited, including yourself, Sam Laty. Am I pronouncing his name correctly here? I hope.
Yes.
Sam obviously has a lot of institutional knowledge around the league, around being in Seattle, working with players like Jess Fishlock and, all the talented players out in Seattle. Tell us a little bit about him, the process to get him here.
Sure. I'm so happy to have Sam in this building. I think anybody who is here can attest that he just brings this positive energy. We are a high energy club and high energy team, and it's there, maybe in a different way than the other coaches in the past, but it's there. The knowledge that he has of the league was huge in the hiring process. And I spoke about this when we did the press conference, but, it was a long process. I had to sit down and really reflect after the year on and off the field what this club needed to continue and not disrupt the momentum that we did have on and off the field. So looking at the candidates, I mean, we had so interest from all around the world, and there was a wide variety of candidates from a few that were in the league and then some pretty big international coaches. But when it came down to it for me and in these discussions, I kept coming back to Sam because he knew the nuances of the NWSL. And I think that that's invaluable. He knows the players that we're up against. He knows the markets that we'll be playing in. And he's been in a winning organization with top-notch players, world-class players. And that is everything that the Houston Dash wants to be. All of our ambitions are to bring the top players here. And he's already had experience coaching them. He's already had experiences as part of a winning franchise. So there were a lot of things that came into it. But at the end of the day, he checked all of those boxes, and competitively, he's, you know, what we were looking for.
10 years assistant with Laura Harvey also,
right.
To your point, institutional knowledge about the league.
He was with Flatco as well. So it's just different, you know, he's seen different looks through his head coaches as well.
She's GM Alex Singer, Houston Dash. So, Alex, when you're looking at criteria for a coach, and you know you see all these positives checking the box, what do you look at as things that maybe you're slightly concerned about? Because, in fairness, everybody is going to be judged if they're being brought in for a job, whether it's you, me, anybody.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately for where our league is at, you have to really do your due diligence, and I think, you know, you've seen what's happened through the investigations last year. So what was key for me was, you know, doing as much homework as I could and speaking to as many references as I could. And that was really when I started speaking to people about Sam, maybe versus some of the other candidates, I didn't have any concern. And unfortunately, that's just the state of our league right now. But I think tactical alignment with with where we want to go with this club, not just season to season. This is long term. You know, from a methodology standpoint, where are we? What are our principles? How does this team look? Not only, like I said, this year, but as we add players, you know, some sustainability is really what I am here to do with Sam. So again, we had that tactical alignment, philosophical alignment from the game standpoint, and we really agreed on a lot of things from the get-go. So for me, in my position now, working with him as far as player acquisition and some of the moves that we're making and going into the preseason, I felt very comfortable and confident that we would be able to hit the ground running.
So everybody's said glowing things about Sam when he took the team over on an interim basis for Laura Harvey with Rain and out in Seattle. Jess Fishlock has talked about all these wonderful things about him as a coach, the character that he is, the person that he is, what he stands for. How do you guys work together? That's always an interesting thing to me. How does a GM work with a coach? Yeah. You know, obviously you work together, but, you know, do you bring a player to Sam? Does Sam bring a player to you? How does that work?
Well, that was a big, actually, part of the hiring process as well. My biggest question is, how do you see us, you know, working together? This relationship is extremely important, of course. It's a partnership. Of course, there are things and moves that I had, you know, gotten into motion prior to Sam coming on board, because, you know, it was the off season and we had to start working on our team. But I would say it's a partnership where we're looking at obviously needs. And at the end of the season, there were a clear list of priorities from us after doing some analysis positionally, and then sitting down with him once he was on board and going through players. So it's both. We both bring players to each other, and then we have to take a look, obviously, one, do they fit the player profile of how we're trying to play from a very basic standpoint? Then how are they fitting in with the rest of the squad? And then, of course, from my seat, from a business standpoint, it's, can we bring this player here, and how do we do it? So there's a lot of back and forth, a lot of meetings together, but it's a very open dialogue at the moment. And I think it has to be. Of course, there's going to be times where maybe we don't quite see eye to eye on a player, but again, it has to, we're looking both at the immediate future to start this season, and then longer term for this season, and then seasons beyond.
Houston Dash GM Alex Singer. I mean, obviously your time as a player agent is another asset for you, because you can see it from the agent standpoint when you worked at Octagon. So yeah. I would think, you know, you've got a really broad scope of how people are going to look at making deals.
Yeah, definitely. It's been tremendously helpful. It's, you know, I'm on the other side of the line right now, or the table right now, from some people that I used to compete against and work with, just in a different role right now. But yeah, it's been tremendously valuable just to kind of anticipate what types of asks or requests they'll have in the negotiation. And it's been great to use those experiences. And yeah, I think we've done quite well, and we're still looking at adding where we need to and when we'll do that. But it's been going very well.
I know you're a new GM, but are you going to be the kind of GM that, you know, when I listen around Europe and around the world, it's, we've always got to make big signings each and every year, and we do have to make subtle change each and every year. Is that the type of GM you think you're going to evolve into, or maybe are already?
So, I mean, to be honest, even though I had that experience as the agent, when you come in, it's not, you need to establish a foundation with these clubs and these discussions about signing big players, although sometimes they do happen quite quickly. But I've used this off season to build that runway. We have brought in, you know, players and traded for players that we needed positionally, based off of, I think, our performance last year and where we were lacking. But then on the big international players, yes, it's no question that, you know, competitively look around the league and teams are doing that. But you have to see where the team is at. I mean, yes, we have every intention to bring top players to this league, whether that's in the next few months or during the summer transfer window. We're already having those discussions with many players and agents and clubs. So yes, I think if we're going to to be competitive and win championships, we have to have those targets, but they have to be players that fit. It's not just, you know, casting our net and bringing the biggest fish here. They have to fit into our system and our club and the other players that are incredible here on this roster already.
So you're not going to do a Houston version of Chelsea, are you?
No, I don't think so. I don't look, you have to, every day is different. So like I said, there are things that sometimes happen very quickly, but I don't imagine us becoming the
Chelsea.
I was
trying to make a joke, Alex. It fell flat. That's why I get into the world of comedy. That's for sure. Alex Singer, GM of the Houston Dash. All right. You did talk about, retaining a lot of the core. You did that. You're happy with that. I think 23 players returning, but you also mentioned a bit more of a creator that can, you know, get in front of a back four and behind an opposing midfield. Speak to that a little bit. And sure. I know you still have some irons in the fire.
Yeah, we definitely have some irons in the fire. For us, when we looked at the season, even though we were very exciting and a progressive team on the field, and that will not change, we also missed a fair amount of goals and goal scoring opportunities, especially at home. And I felt like we were one dimensional. Like we had one look on the attacking side. So finding a pure goal scorer and somebody who gave another look and another layer to our attack was really my first priority. And that's sort of how the Ordóñez trade and the idea of that started. She was a player who I had identified during the season that would fit very well with Maria Sanchez. I felt like we weren't taking advantage of her ability to cross the ball, and with Ebony and getting in behind, we needed an aerial presence and somebody who is a pure finisher. And I'm very excited about how the three of them are going to come together. But I think we are still looking for a creator. We are bringing in another player that will be announced pretty soon who we're very excited about. But I think we still have an eye and are in discussions with some creative, I would say 10 type players. I think somebody, like you said, who can get in between lines, create, score goals themselves, and just bring another look to this team. We have an I would say our midfield is industrious. Sophie is really the anchor of this team, Sophie Schmidt and Marissa Vigiano, and now the addition of Havana Salon, Jay Groom. Again, amazing players who I can't wait to build around, but still looking for somebody who can bring another layer and just some unique attacking abilities.
She's Alex Singer, GM of the Houston Dash, getting ready for their season in preseason. Sam Lady, the new coach, comes over from Seattle. Lots of excitement around the team. Is simply the playing style and a winning record, is that what you think will bring back more fans and grab more attention for the club? What does that have to be combined with in order to make Houston really an NWSL city?
So obviously, doing well on the field will bring fans back. But I think when I think about the Houston Dash, there's a uniqueness about the cultural aspect of this club and sort of the different, it's a very diverse city and bringing that into the team to get more fans into the seats as well. And I know Jess O'Neill has been working, very hard and did such a great job and continues to lead this club in all aspects off the field. So when I think about on the field and what we can add to contribute to that, winning will be very important, but how we do that and how we line up and who we bring in and where they're coming from, I think is also going to, bring some curiosity to our fans. So, I it would be crazy for me not to mention that, Deanna Ordóñez is from Texas and is Mexican American, for example, and plays with Maria Sanchez on the Mexican national team, and how that's going to be influential in the Houston community. It's in the Mexican American community, in the Mexican community, South American community. So we're bringing a few players that are from, I think places who align with our club from a cultural standpoint as well.
And purpose of play, or some might call it game model, that's important to you, that it's, I would assume that's, it's attractive style. I think a lot of people commented last year that they liked kind of the new Dash that was more progressive, more interested in trying to score goals in a pressing type of way.
Yeah, and we'll continue that. We are going to our intention is to be a relentless team that is devastating the opponent. And to me, that is overwhelming with pressure. I do think, you know, and again, looking back at our matches, you have to find ways to improve that, though I think we did that quite well. And that will be a part of our game model 100%. I think it's part of this club, part of our club identity. We had areas where I think making small changes will make big differences in that press, and just where we decide to press when we do that. And again, it's sophisticating last year, which fans really enjoyed. So you're going to continue to see that high energy, that press, but there's going to be some sophistication to it as well. You know, at times I think we couldn't quite solve it when we couldn't get it the first time. And now it's okay. Well, what's the second option if we get broken down? And that's what we're working on.
All right. I'm looking forward with bated breath on that new number 10. I don't know when it'll be announced. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but we're looking forward to that. Alex, thank you so much for coming on. We look forward to another visit. Great talk here about the Houston Dash. I know my listeners are going to love this.
Yeah, great talking to you as well. I'll always have to come talk with you, Glenn. So thank you.
All right. Well, believe me, you're on record now. You'll be on again. That's Alex Singer, the Houston Dash GM. We wrap it up here tonight. It's all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, by the way. That's how we get soccer on the airwaves here in Houston. What a presenting sponsor we have. Podcast of this show at ESPN975.com. For producer Andrew Carlson, everybody who tuned in and listened tonight, thank you for tuning in. Until next week, remember, soccer matters. Jump.